Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for those that weren't here last week, this morning is the second half of our two-part series on conflict and resolution as seen through the story of Jacob and Esau. Twin brothers that began their wrestling inside mom's womb, and Mama Rebecca said, "What in the world is going on inside of me?" And God said, "There's two nations inside of you, and they're already warring, and they will continue to war when they come out." Not the news I want to hear as a mom, but boy, these boys came out, one grabbing onto the other, and the one that was grabbing onto the other, the younger, not only did he grab onto his foot, but as they neared adulthood, what did he do? He grabbed onto and took his birthright, and then he grabbed onto and took his blessing. The two things that the older brother was promised to have his older brother, the birthright and the blessing, and the younger brother took both. What happened when he took both? He ran for his life. Jacob flees home and heads out in fear of the retribution that older brother Esau might take. In our scripture story this morning that Jennifer read, it's Jacob on his way out of town. Jacob fleeing and afraid, not knowing what the future holds. And as he comes to this place and, of all things, makes a rock for a pillow. I don't know if anybody finds a rock as a pillow logical, but that's what he had. And here he lays his head upon this rock and has a dream of a ladder that's going from earth to heaven and the angels going back and forth, and sees God on the top. And he hears from God a promise to Jacob that I will be with you all of your journey, and I will eventually lead you safely home. And Jacob hears the news of hope from God. Not only the hopeful news that God is going to be with him, but that going home someday will be an option. And he takes that rock of a pillow, pours oil on it, makes it an altar, and says, "This place has been renamed, is now Bethel." Beth in Hebrew meaning house, El meaning God, house of God, because this is the place where I saw God. So Jacob heads out, and Jacob ends up marrying Leah and Rachel and has his sons. And eventually with his wives and his sons, there's a dispute between he and his father-in-law. And once again, Jacob finds himself on the run, fleeing from his father-in-law, eventually being able to come to a resolution and marking a place, and neither of us will cross this line. And Laban, the father-in-law, goes his way, and Jacob now realizes he must go home. So he with all his family, he with all his flocks and herds, he with all his slaves and all that he's responsible for, knows he has to head back and face Esau. But he's got this promise of God in his head, that God said, "I will get you back there." And he has this in his head that God will be with me, but there's still that worry and that anxiety in there. How is reconciliation going to happen? Reconciliation is what I want to talk about this morning, because we all face conflict. We can't avoid it as human beings, but last week we talked about conflict, and in our conflict we can either have destructive conflict or we can have constructive conflict. And how is it that when we have conflict, we work on having it in a healthy way? Having it in a way that it can actually build to something through the process that we go through and the way we treat conflict. But at the end of conflict is the hope for resolution. At the end of conflict is the hope for reconciliation. And God calls for it. God calls for it, whether we're on one end or the other. If we're the one doing wrongdoing, he says in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, as Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar," remembering that most of the time gifts at the altar were for reconciliation with God after wrongs that were done to repair the relationship with God. So as you're bringing your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. What does Jesus say? If you're coming to be in right relationship with God, if you're coming to make sure you're in the right place with God as you bring your offering, but you realize that you have a brother or a sister or a neighbor or a friend that you are not in right relationship with because of something that you have done, go and make that relationship right first, and then come make your relationship right with God. Through Christ, Jesus is saying the relationship that you have with one another is just as important as the relationship that you have with God. So ensure that both are in a right place. But what if we're the one that's been wronged? What if we're the one that's been hurt? Paul tells us in the letter to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter, he says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Can't go in both ways. And now Paul's saying, God through Jesus has forgiven you. God has done the work to restore right relationship with you. Now go and do likewise. But both of these are big asks. Both of these are big jobs to figure out how it is that we reconcile with one another, how it is that we put relationships and friendship back in the right place, back on a place where they can move forward and move past the conflict or the hurt that they have been in. Well, this morning I give us a 5-step process that I think can help us to move into healthy reconciliation, whether we're the one that has done the wrong or we're the one that's been wronged. And the first step I have us look at is to look at stepping back from the situation. Last week I heard people say, "You went so fast, I didn't get all the steps," so I'm helping you out this week. Step one, take a step back. Oftentimes, whether we're the one doing the wrong or we're the one that's been wronged, there's a lot of emotion involved, and our emotions can get the best of us. So one of the first things that we can do is take a step back to center ourselves. If we look at Jacob, as he's heading back home, one of the things he does is he sends everyone else and everything that belongs to him up ahead. And he spends the night by himself on the other side of the river. He spends a night by himself to prepare to meet Esau. And what does he do in that place? But he spends time with God. But he takes that step back. When we take that step back, we can get our emotions in check. When we take that step back, we can think things through thoroughly. When we take that step back, we can develop a plan for what we want to do to make sure we're approaching the situation in the right way. When we take that step back, like Jacob, we can allow God's peace to come upon us. Because when we go into reconciliation with peace first in our hearts, we have a greater chance of allowing peace to be in the heart of the other. How is it that when we're in the midst of conflict, we could take a step back, take a pause, a time out, a break, whatever you want to call it, to collect ourselves and receive peace before we move forward? The second step, this is one of the most critical steps, go to God. What did I say happened on the side of the river? Jacob spent time with God. Our time can be in worship. Our time can be in prayer or meditation. Our time can be in scripture. Our time can be in reflection. Spending time with God. At Bethel, Jacob had a dream, and God gave him the message that God would be with him and God would bring him home. But here in the second place, when he's stepping back, when he's taking that time, an angel of the God, angel of God, comes and interacts with Jacob. And Jacob begins to wrestle with this angel. And this angel gets upset because Jacob won't let go. And Jacob's demanding to know the angel's name, and the angel's like, I'm not giving you my name. And Jacob keeps wrestling, keeps holding on to that angel, and says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Jacob is willing to wrestle with God until God blesses him for what's about to happen. How is it that we can go to God, allow our wrestling, allow our struggling, allow our emotions to be with God, and allow God at the end of that wrestling to bless us as we prepare to face our brothers and sisters? You know, to me, the book of Job allows us to get angry with God, allows us to yell at God and ask God the why questions. And God says, I am so big, I can take it all. Give it to me if that will give you peace. Give it to me if it means that you don't release all of that on your brother and sister. Of how it is that we let out the steam that's building up, wrestling with God, and then at the end of it, asking God to bless us with God's presence to be with us as we seek reconciliation. How is it that we go to God before we go to our brother and sister? Which takes us to number three. When it's time to actually come face to face with the person we've wronged or has wronged us, how is it that we work to communicate clearly? And we can communicate much clearer when we've taken that step back to get ourselves together, when we've taken that time with God and asked for God's Holy Spirit and God's blessing. Because when we communicate clearly, we are able to handle the situation so much better. One of the things we see in the Bible is in Matthew 18, as Jesus is giving advice, and he says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. And here's the important part, just between the two of you. One of the aspects of this communicate clearly is to not try to do it publicly or within groups or pulling other people in, but how is it that we pull that person to the side and have a space where between us and them, we can communicate? And one of the things to realize is that humility in communication goes a long way. Humility goes a long way. On top of that, to make sure that what we are saying is in the spirit of clarifying, not confronting. How much further do things go when it's I statements? I feel like. I am sorry that I. Of how we word things so that people can hear us instead of just putting their guard up. Because when we can hear one another and when we can communicate with one another, we can move forward with one another instead of being stuck in a place of confrontation. And when we work on how we communicate, we have the ability to set the tone of the conversation. We can take that peace that we received from God and through our tone work on having a peaceful conversation instead of an angry and confrontational conversation. We can have the power to control what's happening in the way that we communicate. Which takes us to number four. Once we've communicated, once we've said our piece, once we've had that time of initial contact, we need to take care of us. And what does that mean? It means at one point when we've said everything, we have no control over the actions, feelings, or words of the other person. We can't control them, but we can control us. And that time after conflict, in that time after communicating, I can control how I'm responding. I can control how I'm having peace with it. I can control how I'm showing the virtues and the values that are in me as I come out of it. I can control what's going on within me, especially if I've got God helping me. How is it that I take care of me and do my part through my actions, feelings, and words to move towards peace? And the last and final one, and sometimes this is the hardest, is to have prayer, patience, and love. Patience is one of those things we in human beings have a hard time with. We've said our peace, everything's happened. We want reconciliation right now, right? We want on the spot for that person to say, you're forgiven, we move on, let's hug and go play, right? I mean, this is what kids do. This is the fantastic thing about kids. I mean, one hurts the other, and you say, you got to say sorry, and they say sorry, and they go run off and play. I love little kids. You know what? It's fantastic, but we as adults, it doesn't happen at lightning fast speeds. Sometimes it takes time, especially for the person being hurt. Sometimes it takes time for them to process everything and get their heart into a place where they can forgive and reconcile and have peace and move on. And we need to be the ones to exercise the fruit of the Spirit of patience, to give them the time to work through what they need to work through so that they can get to the other side. And within that time of patience, to offer prayer, to be asking God to help us with that patience, to keep giving us peace, but even more so to be in prayer for the other person, to be in prayer that God can give them peace, to be in prayer that God can give them healing, to be in prayer that God can give them the hope of what's on the other side and to see what reconciliation can bring. And finally, that important word of love. Jesus tells us to love one another. And even in the most difficult times of how it is that we love one another and we allow love to pour out, to allow love to be that moves us from confrontation and conflict to reconciliation. Because like Jacob heard from God at Bethel, God says, I will be with you all of the journey, and I will be there to make sure you get home safely. And God says the same to each one of us. I know you're going to go through rough waters. I know the journey's going to be big and sometimes seem unbearable. But God says, I will be with you every step of the way. And you can lean on me at any time. And I will make sure you get home safely. God says, I will be with you through the conflict. I will be with you through the reconciliation. And I will be there at the other end. Wrestle with me, be blessed by me, and let's go through this together. We can't avoid conflict, but we can be the ones to use God, God's strength, God's guidance, God's love, God's example of forgiveness, and God's peace to help us through it, to be people of reconciliation, and people that love one another. Will you pray with me? God, sometimes we find ourselves on the shores of a raging river. Sometimes we find ourselves in places we do not want to be. Places where we know we've done wrong. Places where we know we've been wronged. Places that have conflict and warring and disagreement. even with the people we love most, like we saw with Jacob and Esau. But we've seen the end of the story of Jacob and Esau. We saw that Jacob sent gifts and gifts and gifts on ahead of him, trying to bribe Esau into forgiveness and not retribution. And when Esau saw his brother, Esau said, "Keep all that is yours. I forgive you. Come home." And we just pray that we can be people of reconciliation, that we can be people that desire to see the other end of a conflict, that we desire to be people that allow your peace to overcome us, that allows your Holy Spirit to guide us, that we can have all of the virtues and values that you have instilled in us and given as an example of Jesus Christ to lead us through those times, to find the way that we can be people of grace, that we can find ourselves to be people of forgiveness, that we can find ourselves to be people of reconciliation, the desire to be back into a peace, place of peace with our friends, our families, our neighbors. Calm the storms that are inside of us. Repair the hurts that are in our hearts. And help us to be overcome by the love that you have given us. For all that we have is yours. We desire to be the empty vessels filled by you. For this we pray in your holy name. Amen.